As I promised, at 8:40 this morning, we're going to talk with Mark Bowden, who has written the book Hue 1968, Turning Point in the American War in Vietnam. He's, of course, the best-selling author of Black Hawk Down. But, Mark, before we go any further, is it pronounced Hue? Sometimes with the Vietnamese words, I'm not sure exactly the correct pronunciation, and this one has a little bit of an accent and other script above it.
No, it's pronounced Hue.
Hue, I think.
And those of us who are old enough to remember this, it's generally kind of a generational marker.
Okay.
You're too young, obviously.
Well, I will say that I was a young man in the 60s. Television was the Vietnam War every evening with the news. Mm-hmm. Growing up there as well, I do remember the Tet Offensive, which this is sort of a part of that as well.
Right.
What made you decide to go back 50 some years and look at this battle and write about it?
Well, you know, I think most of us who lived through those years recognize what a significant event Vietnam was in the lives of our generation, and I think it remains so in this country. So I've long been interested in it, and, you know, my methods are I'm not actually the sort of person who would write a 7-volume history of the war in Vietnam, but what I do like to do is find a dramatic episode in a bigger story and dig really deeply. And in writing about that episode, in this case, the Battle of Hue, I think it functions as kind of a lens on the larger story. So it was really a way for me to write about the Vietnam experience, and it gave me an opportunity to really research and investigate for myself what actually was going on in Vietnam.
Mark, in telling of your story, was it that American leaders were putting out false information on purpose, or were they sort of just misinformed?
Well, I know, you know, that a lot of intelligence in Vietnam got rewritten as it went up the chain. And I think the fault here, and I place this fault, I think, fairly obviously in the book, lies with General William Westmoreland, who kind of represents the sort of leader who has such a fixed theory of what's actually happening, in this case in Vietnam, that facts can't penetrate it. So he welcomed information that supported what he believed was happening, and he discarded information that didn't fit. And so it ended up creating a false narrative, which was fed to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and to the President, President Johnson, who passed it along to the American people. So if, you know, I don't know how to characterize that exactly. It's more like willful ignorance than I think outright lying.
In this book, you get both perspectives of this. What was it like getting from the Vietnamese side of it to sort of tell it in that perspective?
Well, I found it fascinating, and I think that was one of the things that I definitely wanted to accomplish in this book, is to tell the story of the battle and of the war from both sides. And so to understand the people who were fighting, what motivated them, what their beliefs were, what their goals were, I think is essential to understanding the conflict. And I do think that the people I met in Vietnam, you know, were just as there are with the Marines and the American soldiers who fought there, a tremendous variety of individuals motivated by different things. The story ends up being a lot more complicated than a simple narrative of freedom versus communism.
And of course, when you're putting something like this together, do we look now at Vietnam in a different way? You know, there's somebody wrote, you know, sometimes you look at it's been 50 some years. Do we have a chance to digest it now and to deal with it on a different level than we would if we were to just sort of report on it on that day?
Sure. I think the time gives you a much better perspective on the whole event. And I think, you know, Vietnam today is a very authoritarian country. There's no question that the victory of the communist forces in Hanoi deprived of the South Vietnamese people of a lot of freedoms that they might have enjoyed otherwise. In recent years, the Vietnamese government, though, has really liberalized. It's loosened up its, you know, sort of the communist strictures against private property and entrepreneurship, and as a result, the economy in Vietnam is booming and people are doing much better. And they've opened up, they have diplomatic ties with the United States. Many Americans, including a lot of the veterans I interviewed for this book, have made trips back to Vietnam and actually grown to love the country. So, you know, Vietnam is a prospering country right now. I still think politically they have an oppressive form of government, but it's really theirs to deal with, and I think it's probably on its way to becoming a more liberal and democratic state.
Bruce mentioned watching this war on TV, as did I. What role do you think journalists played in maybe changing that narrative you described earlier from the general?
Well, there's no question that in the case of the Battle of Hue, which I investigated fairly thoroughly, the people telling the truth were the journalists on the ground in Hue. Basically, General Westmoreland was telling the president and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then these are in his secret cables, which are available in the LBJ Library in Austin, Texas, that nothing serious was going on in Hue. There were only a few hundred enemy soldiers there, and the Marines had the problem well in hand. And in fact, you know, the reporters who went to Hue discovered that the Marines were vastly outnumbered, were getting creamed by an enemy that had far more rifles and guns than they had, and were being repeatedly ordered to attack in kind of suicidal conditions, basically, you know, 300, 400 men being sent up against thousands. And as a result, many Americans died. So there's no question in my mind that the truth about what was happening in Hue was being presented in newspapers by reporters who were on the scene. And I think, in fact, a lot of the commanders, even in the chain, came to realize that the narrative that they were promoting was false, and they changed that. I think halfway through the battle, some of these, you know, ridiculous orders were curtailed. So, you know, if the narrative is that journalists changed the American public's attitude toward the war, I would argue that the truth changed Americans' attitude toward the war.
We're talking today with Mark Bowden, who has written the book Hue, 1968, also, of course, known for Black Hawk Down, which they put into a movie. And I think there's what people are looking at this book, possibly. Sometimes when you already go through that process, they look at your next work or something like that to see how they can turn it into a film. What would be a major storyline for this, or maybe some of heroic efforts or stories that would come out of a book like this?
Michael Mann is the producer and director, and I believe, you know, I've talked to Michael about this, and he's sold it to FX, and he's making a 10-part miniseries. And what he wants to do is capture the way this story is told in the book, which is through a variety of perspectives, including Vietnamese, young Marines. And so I think what we'll do is we'll focus on some of the major characters in the story, both American and Vietnamese. And because 10 hours gives you a fairly broad palette, you can, I think, tell a very rich and complicated story over, you know, a period of 10 hours.
What do we learn? Many times when we go through battles, the people in military, the historians, kind of look at battles, determining where the fault was, where it could be changed, what we can learn from it, and then either how to apply that to current day military, if that's even possible. What can we gain out of that from this book?
Well, I think one of the clear lessons in this story is that you trust the men who are on the ground doing the fighting. If they tell you that the conditions are terrible, that they're facing an overwhelming enemy force, if you're in charge, whether you're in Phu Bai or Saigon or Washington, you better listen to those people because they're the ones who are being shot at. And I think there was very little of that going on. So I think that's, you know, one of the big military lessons. I think politically, one of the lessons that I take from it is that it's a bad idea to sort of formulate a theory of the world on the basis of domestic political considerations and then try to project that theory into reality. I think it's far more important to pay close attention to what's actually happening in a place like Southeast Asia, listen to the people who know the language, who have lived there, who understand the culture. They're going to give you a better picture of what's going on, not some, you know, political theorist at a university in the United States who has concocted a theory to explain everything.
Was it easy to get the people who are involved in this to open up about it? Many times if someone's involved in a military or war of some sort, they kind of compartmentalize it, put it away, and really never want to speak of it.
Well, of course, you know, the Vietnamese won the war, so no, it wasn't terribly hard to get them to talk about something that they're very proud of. It was hard because one of the tragedies of the Battle of Hue is that when the North Vietnamese took the city, they conducted purges where they executed many citizens who had worked for the South Vietnamese government or, as they called it, collaborated with the South Vietnamese government. And those purges really spun out of control. And I think to this day, it's a shameful episode in Vietnam's history. And the government of Vietnam is not particularly eager for people to talk about it. So that's still a country, as I said, that's an authoritarian one where you can get in trouble for telling stories that displease the government. So that was a bit of a hurdle for me. I nevertheless did get many people who spoke very candidly about what actually happened.
The book is Hue, 1968, A Turning Point of the American War in Vietnam. Our guest this morning, Mark Bowden. Mark, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate sharing with us.
Bruce, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.